brightest minds from across the country. Yes, across the country. And some of our guests, you know, what we're doing is trying to invoke conversation. So we ask them questions. We invoke conversations that can possibly provide some solutions to our culture's issues. So today we got Dr. Carter from Black Wall Street headquarters in Oakland, California. Oh, my God. He's a great guy. Great guy, spiritually insightful, and a gracious giver. And it was a great interview. So, great interview. So, with saying that, you know, thanks for your time and open up your mind. Thanks.
You are now tuned in to FUL Podcast Show, where family unites listeners and listeners become family. Now, allow me to introduce your host, Cornelius James and Mr. Info Joe. And, oh, yeah. F you.
Come and talk deserves a walk. Come and talk deserves a walk. Come and talk deserves a walk. Commentating, illustrating.
We created this podcast for the people. For the comments. That's not represented. But now we got a voice.
FUL Podcast Show. FUL Podcast Show.
All right, you FUL listeners, you know, today we got a special surprise for you, special guest rather. And we got a new segment, and it's called Black Thoughts. And we got a guest speaker, that's Dr. Carter from Black Wall Street, USA, Oakland headquarters. Dr. Carter, can you please introduce yourself? Give us, you know, the fans a little bit of info about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you, Brother Sims, for this opportunity to share with our family. And we hope and pray that your listeners will support you in your endeavors to enlighten the world, not just our people, but peoples all over the world. Just briefly, I'm a servant of God, a workman, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a father of four, and I lead an organization called Black Wall Street USA, Black Wall Street Global, and we have over 9,600 members. We're in 12 countries and 22 states, and we are part of a movement that we've coined the phrase the movement for the next 300 years. And this movement is designed to replicate in the spirit what took place in a little town called Tulsa, Oklahoma, a 40 square block area that started in 1830 and was destroyed physically in 1921. Had Black Wall Street Tulsa not been destroyed, it would have an economic valuation of an annual $115 billion a year on 40 square blocks had it remained. And so our goal is to take the spirit of Tulsa throughout this universe.
Well, Dr. Carter, for the FUL listeners out there, they might not know so much about what took place in Black Wall Street or the economics that was taking place. Could you give them just a little brief history, if you would, please?
The city of Tulsa, at the time of its inception, was a little Native American town. Tulsa, or Tulsi, means small city, and it was around situated around oil wells and coal deposits, and eventually railroads were built throughout that area. But at the time of its territory state, Oklahoma hosted Native Americans and African Americans in the 1830s, well, going back to the 1700s up into the 1800s, 1830s, all the way through to 1921. And a brother by the name of O.W. Gurley purchased 40 acres in the latter part of the 19th century and sold them back in parcels to African Americans who were making their way up to Tulsa on what is called the Trail of Tears. And he sold them the 40 acres in parcels so that African Americans could have a sense of ownership. And so by the time Oklahoma became a state, this little powerful area of Tulsa, 40 square blocks, became a mecca, a center for spirituality, education, economics. And so it's really not about money or economics in a sense, in as much as it's about the spirit. And as I teach folk, you can have all the money in the world, but if your spirit is not right, you won't benefit anybody and God will not be glorified. Tulsa gives us today an opportunity to do something all over this world that was already done without the internet, cell phones, and the modern technology. And so we are proud to actually stand on the shoulders of a J.B. Stratford, O.W. Gurley, the Mount Zion Church, Brown AME, that it was established in Tulsa, Oklahoma, over those many years. And so we're coming up on the 100th anniversary of the riot. 2021 will be 100 years since the riot of Black Wall Street, Tulsa, where the working class was the ones who built Tulsa. They were going to white Tulsa, work in the factories, homes, and schools, and when they got paid, they would bring that money to the black area of Tulsa, which was the Black Wall Street, and that's how the black businesses thrived. It was not the black businesses that built Black Wall Street, Tulsa. It was the working class that built Black Wall Street, Tulsa. And some of those in the working class, after a period of time, generated enough income where they could start their own businesses. And Brother O.W. Gurley started with a boarding house, and he ended up with over 100 businesses on 40 square blocks.
Wow. I really appreciate you for sharing that much information with us, because, you know, we're young, and a lot of that history seems to be buried. Let's move on. Can I ask you a question, Dr.
Yes, sir.
Carter?
Yes, sir.
What would you prefer to be called, Afro-American, Black American, African-American, colored, et cetera, you know, and why?
Well, I don't have any particular preference, to be honest with you, brother, because in the end, it's really not about race. It's about your spirit. So yes. You want to call me a spirit man or whatever, that's fine. But race, God does not look at race. God looks at your heart. And so I really don't care about that.
Okay, nice answer. Appreciate that. Okay, I got another question for you. Okay, what do you think about our current culture? Well, let me say that. What do you think about our current state in America?
Now, when you say current culture, are you referring to particular race or just overall?
Yes, the race, the black race.
Well, the black race, well, first of all, we're out of order. We don't know what order is. And that's been one of the biggest problems for our people for so long. And really no one has taught us what order is. And you can only get the answer as to what order is from God. And so, you know, I'll ask you, do you know what order is, brother?
I think that it's almost like, when I can look at it, if I had to answer the question, I think we're every man for themselves kind of thing, you know?
No. Order, brother, is when we behave.
No, I'm saying that. I think we're so out of order.
Because
we're on our own thing, you know?
No
code of conduct, no unity, you know?
Right,
and sometimes I think we all pray the same God, but we think that your God is different, you know?
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you what order is. And let me just preface by saying this is not what's in order or what's out of order. This is what order is. Order is only when you behave or we behave the way God conceived us to behave before the foundations of the earth was laid. Everything that we survey, everything that we are, everything that we experience in life, God conceived us, man, irrespective of race, creed or religion, to behave a certain way. And when we behave a certain way, that's order. When we don't behave a certain way, that's disorder. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're in the Serengeti and you see a lion take flight like an eagle, That's disorder, because when God conceived lions,
exactly.
He did not conceive lions to fly. And so when we do not build communities and sustainable communities in the spirit, then we are out of order. And so I don't care about the religious organization, the black this, black that. It doesn't matter. If we're not behaving the way in which God conceived us to behave before the first raindrop, before the first twinkle of light, before the big bang, before any of the, see, the text in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Everything after that is really about behaving the way God conceived us to behave. And the biggest issue with us is Adam, he fell from grace because he wasn't behaving the way God conceived him to behave. That is order. That is order. And so as a people, we must ask ourselves the question, do we, one, know what order is, and are we in order?
Great answer. Great answer, and I really appreciate it. And just to piggyback onto what you said, every animal, bug, or anything God created, all the everything else does what God intended it to do.
Ooh, that's right. That's right.
All right. Let's move on to another question, Dr. Carter. We are over $1 trillion consumers in America, but we own little to nothing. And what can we do to change that?
Well, we gotta, you know, if it was left up to me, my brother, I would find a one city block in this country. I don't care where it is. And I would, if I had I have the power, but God has yet to give me the authority. But I would cause our people to line up behind that block, and as they pass, they would put their money in that block some kind of way. In other words, in Oakland at the Coliseum, I'm a Raiders fan. They have a section in the Coliseum that they call the Black Hole. And in that black hole, energy is generated because they're fans. Those are some of the most vocal fans that you have. White folks discovered that black hole. That's why they destroyed Tulsa, because if you can imagine thousands of black people going into white Tulsa, working and taking that money that white folk give them and bringing it back to Tulsa, and it's circulating in the Black Wall Street area 100, 122 times, then what happens is you created a black hole. Where that $1 trillion today is, when it's more like $3 trillion. They don't give you all the numbers, but the bottom line is that if I could get that $3 trillion and situate it in one place, and it borders on the line of a little socialism, but the reality is I'm a capitalist, and so we would find ways to use that $3 trillion to help our people continue. You know, one of the things we have in this organization is that we offer former incarcerated individuals, even before they get out of prison, an opportunity to start their own business. For years, we've been trying to come up with ways to help them get jobs. Well, job is good, but you have a little bit more sustainability if you have your hands on the reins of entrepreneurship. And no one is offering our inmates business opportunity when we're the only black organization out there that offers an opportunity to start your own business. You can be dumb as a box of rocks, but if you want to start your own business, we will start to help you achieve that. The trillion dollars really is a testament to our ability to spend, but it's not a testament of our ability to strategize and focus that money in one area. In Oakland, real quick, there's a There's a Chinatown district here, and 16 square blocks every single year for the past 40, 50 years. Well, I want to say 20 years. They've averaged $20 to $22 billion in revenue on 16 square blocks. Well, the Chinese live in 12 of the Bay Area's counties. So they live everywhere, but when they need resources, when they need to buy food, clothes, whatever, health, you name it, they will drive the 40, 50, 70 miles to the Chinatown in Oakland and leave their money there. In fact, if you come to Oakland's Chinatown, you'll discover that they have diagonal crosswalks. Whenever you see diagonal crosswalks in any city, I've been to Japan and the Philippines and Singapore, and they have these diagonal crosswalks. What that is an indication of is that they're speeding up the process by which the foot traffic can get back and forth to the businesses to spend their money. And so if we remember, and for those who don't know, we need to teach them that that's possible with our people. But what's getting in the way a lot of times is tradition, that pharisaic syndrome, that crabs in the barrel mentality, where we decide to hurt one another in so many different ways, all in the name of liberation, when we're in actuality lying to ourselves. So I hear that number, I hear the $1 trillion, but Lord, if I could just have it focused on one block, one city block somewhere in America, it would blow our minds as to our potential and what we can get accomplished.
I agree. And thank you for being so gracious with that answer, too, because you know, I've learned a lot, and just talking to you has been a pleasure. Last but not least, can you please give us at least 1 to 3 books that you've read that changed your life? And I know one book you're going to say, but can you give us 1 to 3 books that you've read, Dr. Carter, that changed your life?
How to Eat to Live by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is one. Black Liberation Theology by James Cone, and that's that brother there, that's an awesome brother, and oh God, there's so many others. Let's see, The Certain Sound of a Trumpet, that's a good one too, and then Hartill's Hermeneutics.
Could you repeat the last one again for us?
Hartill, Hermeneutics. It's a theological book that I read.
It's some heavy stuff, but you know, now that I got it and it's recorded, I will look up them all, the books up, and definitely going to make that something that I got to make sure I read personally.
Yeah.
Hopefully the FUL fans out there do the same. Wow, this has been very informative, Dr. Carter, and I'm very humbled and, you know, really appreciate you sharing your time with us. And FUL fans, this is a new installment we have, which is entitled Black Thoughts, and we're going to continue this going and definitely going to hear a lot more from the Black Wall Street organization. I love what they stand for, and I'm in. So you support them because they support us. Like to say again, thanks again to Dr. Carter, and we look to talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.